listening to Prometheus by a Minute. I'm your host, Connor Coulson. This is Minute 60. This minute begins with Charlie saying, "And I love you," and ends with Yannick saying, "I don't know, I'm just a captain." We begin with Holloway and Shaw making out on the bed. We hear a beautifully tragic song. It doesn't get its own track, but we hear elements of it in the track Infected, which is very foreshadowing. The song becomes a dirge to Holloway before his time has come. We then cut to Vickers entering the bridge and inspecting the map of the pyramid, only to be startled by Yannick, who plays a harsh note on his accordion. This continues their established dynamic. He likes messing with her, never quite undermining her authority, but walking right up to the line. Why did Vickers decide to come to the bridge in the first place? Was she genuinely interested in the map, or was she expecting to find Yannick there? She doesn't look around the room at all, her sights are set on the map and nothing else. So I can only conclude that she has some interest in the mission. She does ask how long this will take, so her interest may go no further than wanting to know how much progress has been made. Or maybe she was just trying to hide her interest, continuing to be dismissive of the whole thing. I guess we can rule out that Vickers is a synthetic, considering she gets startled. While Walter in Alien Covenant doesn't notice David sneaking up on him, he doesn't jump. That said, maybe she was made to be more human than human. If there is a third film, I would be all for Vickers coming back in a reverse Bishop scenario. First she was a human, now maybe she's an android but they never explain it. Yeah, give me that. My friend Gray pointed out something that I hadn't noticed before. Wayland has no idea Vickers is here. It seems like an odd choice. But later he's all like, "Oh, you did come here after all." Apparently David never told Wayland that Vickers was there. This would have been so much simpler if he knew. I don't get why this plot detail was necessary. Now it's convoluted. Was she supposed to be here or not? Did she want to be here or not? In the Spade script, it's very definitive. Wayland dragged her along, which means she may not have a career to return to. She'd be too far behind the rest of the world. In the Engineer script, we get lines of dialogue like this. "I told Mr. Wayland I wouldn't compromise my standard of living. He accommodated me." And later, "No, I was set to be the next CEO of Wayland Industries. Then you came along and sold Mr. Wayland on this. So here I am, out of the running. I'll go where I'm told, but don't ask me to play along." So I think Gray has uncovered a plot hole that no one else has. I'm putting it on the list of flaws. This irritates me now. I think it weakens Vickers as a character. Apparently she didn't have to be there. And also didn't want to run the company either? Okay, so what's her deal then? Why was this changed? I guess now she's someone who doesn't want to be here, didn't have to be here, didn't want to inherit her father's company and yet works very hard for said company, just wants to be here to watch him fail and possibly die? That's weak. It's much better if she wanted to inherit the company and was so determined to do so that she went on this dangerous mission. Funny how a few lines of dialogue change everything. I always had the Spate's backstory in my mind and accepted it as fact. And I will continue to do so. I reject your reality and substitute my own. Did you know that quote didn't originate with Adam Savage, but the movie Dungeon Master? The more you know. Boy, this minute is not giving me a lot to work with. Thank God for the scripts. We'll be reading pages 56 to 61 of John Spate's Alien Engineer script. Exterior, Magellan, night. The storm batters the ship, bouncing it on a suspension. Scientist cabin, night. Watts and Holloway lie in bed, exhausted, arms around each other. Watts stares into space. Watts. "We found the gods, and they've been murdered." Holloway. "You've pried too many arrowheads out of old skulls to get squeamish now. They've been dead, what, 1800 years? 2000? Watts. "What could kill them?" Holloway contemplates the question. "Who knows?" He laughs bitterly. "But I guess we know why they never came back to us. something killed them. Something killed them off, back around the time of Christ. Maybe he was one of them, a great teacher sent from heaven. Jesus, the last engineer. What? Martin, stop! She slaps at him. Holloway laughs. Yannick stands at the bridge window, staring out into the storm. Buffeting clouds and howling winds, the lighthouse beams of the Magellan beacons sweeping through the cloud. He plays his squeeze box in the teeth of the storm. Yannick, singing, "You'll come waltzing Matilda with me." Behind him, David appears on the bridge, stealing across the bridge to a ladder, descends into the compartment below. Navigation computer room. David activates the navigation computer terminal. Light bathes his face. His fingers fly over the keyboard, silently and swiftly, with superhuman dexterity. David, quietly, activate. Administrative override. Exterior, Magellan, dawn. Daylight filters through the clouds. The storm has passed. The Magellan sits intact on its landing struts. Interior, Magellan, Vicar's suite, secret room, dawn. The high-tech room hums at a different frequency now. Indicator lights green and ready. Vickers throws the switches. Four hibernation pods slide out of the metal walls. From each pod, a muscular soldier rouses from sleep. They are scarred and crew-cut, tough customers. They wake like veterans. Their leader sits up and clasps his head with a wince. This is Captain Shepard, a career mercenary who has followed the highest paycheck to this strange duty. Vickers. Captain Shepard. Shepard. Squinting in the light. Reporting. Lydia Vickers, I'm your authority. Understood. I'll brief you on the way. We need to move. No breakfast? Corridor. Vickers strides forward, four soldiers at her heels. Captain Shepard, Commander Shepard? Vigoda, Ray, and Card. They walk in unison, their boots drumming on the deck. Scientist cabin. Holloway and Watts lie sleeping. The distant drum of marching feet rouses them. Watts frowns at Holloway. Watts. What is that? EVA room. The prep room inside the airlocks. A soldier, Vigoda, waits there. A slim, dark man with an air of calm. Holloway and Watts arrive in civilian clothes, perplexed. Holloway. Where is everybody? We can't... He stops short. Who are you? Captain Yannick took his crew out to retrieve his missing men. They never came in. Holloway, and you are... Vigoda, Whalen security detail. The scientists are dumbfounded. His presence is impossible. Watts, where'd you come from? Vigoda, director's call to brief you on that. I'm supposed to escort you to the worksite. Holloway, worksite? Vigoda glances at a mapping unit. Haven't been out there yet. I understand it's some kind of pyramid. Corridor, Vicar's cabin door. A furious Holloway and Watts, trailed by Vigoda, arrive at Vickers' cabin. They are astonished to find Shepard standing guard at the door. Vickers' suite. Vickers sits calmly at her desk. Holloway and Watts stand in front of her, bristling. Holloway. Why wasn't I told about this additional personnel? Vickers. They're my personnel, on my ship. Watts. What are the guns for? Vickers looks at them unflappably, sure of her ground now. I'm being careful. These new finds give our work a new importance. Watts. You should have talked to us. Martin's mission leader. That is in our contract. Vickers. The second you found alien technology, control of this mission reverted to me. That's in your contract, too. Watts and Holloway exchange grim looks. Vickers has them. Mr. Whalen's pouring trillions into Mars. He spent a fortune building ships like the Magellan to search for colony planets. But Earth-like worlds are vanishingly rare. The right distance from the sun, the right atmosphere, enough water. She glances across the suite at her holographic display, a live feed from the pyramid worksite, where David works on the terraforming equipment. This is a technology to transform worlds. He'll never give it up, and neither will I. Holloway, the science must come first. You can wait until we've documented, because you're standing on an alien world, courtesy of Wayland Industries. Be grateful. Watts approaches the holography terminal, staring at the images in horror. What are they doing in there? Interior, pyramid, core chamber, day. Watts and Holloway, in spacesuits, arrive on the scene. Powerful floodlights illuminate the core chamber, beating back the gloom. A fine spray of water falls out of the darkness overhead. David, Chance, and Ravel are dismantling the hulking mechanism at the core of the pyramid, peeling its thick skin away with power saws and compact explosives. David operates a diamond-bladed hull saw, carving away the terraforming system's thick skin. Robotic scanners take high-resolution scans of the machinery. Two Wellen security soldiers, Card and Ray, stand guard in combat vacuum suits, automatic rifles at the ready. Watts takes in the destruction with dismay. Beside her, Holloway is all but gnashing his teeth. Pyramid, core chamber. Watts watches in rage as a large section of the central mechanism fails with a thunderous clamor to the deck. Holloway touches her shoulder, motions for her to follow. Lower passage. Holloway and Watts pass the dead engineers they discovered the previous day. Watts. We found the tomb of the gods and brought grave robbers right to the door. Holloway. Let them scratch. This find's too big to ruin. There's 2 dozen pyramids on this moon. Anyway, they're on the wrong track. That's infrastructure. Holloway plays his flashlight over the biomechanical apparatus lining the walls. Holloway. The core activity of the complex was down here. They turn a corner. Dead engineers lie scattered over the floor in front of them, desiccated and skeletal, long dead. Watts moves among them, fascinated. These engineers all die of explosive chest wounds, ribs bent outward from within. They are otherwise unmarked. Holloway is more interested in the mechanisms, high-tech iron maidens built to fit the bodies of giants. Some suggest sitting positions, others standing. Their design is invasive, meant not merely to embrace, but to penetrate, to fuse. Watts. Something different killed these. Shadowy colonnade. Watts and Holloway inspect a wide colonnade. She is still distracted by the ancient dead, he by the machinery. Holloway walks down a narrow branching hall, so intent on the mechanisms in the walls, he almost doesn't see the air shaft plunging down into the darkness in front of him. He stops just in time, turns back. A ghost appears right in front of him. A giant dragging himself across the floor, his monstrous visage eye to eye with Holloway and looming closer. Holloway leaps back with a gasp and falls down the shaft. The ghost stares after him, as if watching his fall, disappears into a puff of static. Watts crosses down the main colonnade, searching. Martin? Martin? So, that implies some different things about the engineers. I suppose you can't consider any of it canonical at this stage, but it's nice to see where it could have gone. We're at the halfway mark now, or thereabout. I'm not sure if I'm including the credits, but it's roughly a 2-hour movie either way. I'd just like to say I'm so grateful for all the support. When I started the show back in January 2018, I'd never done a solo podcast before. I didn't know I could do it, and I didn't think anyone would be interested in listening to something so niche. And while the audience is small, you are passionate, and it means so much to me that you get something out of me endlessly indulging my autistic obsession. Life has changed so dramatically for me since this show began. I first battled with chronic fatigue syndrome around January 2013. It lasted 18 months, and the only symptom was fatigue. Then in November 2017, I got it again, and it came back with a vengeance. I'm not saying there's a correlation here, but those dates are roughly 6 months after each Alien prequel was released. Don't worry, guys. If there's a third movie, I am willing to take one for the team. It will be worth it. I wonder if these movies are just so epic, my fragile constitution, my mind and body simply cannot take it. When I started Prometheus by Minute, I was still somewhat functional. I was studying and working from home, but I just got worse and worse. I had to give up on everything else, while this podcast was the one thing I could still do, sometimes. There were many days where all I did was watch TV. I was barely conscious most of the time. And then there were all the other symptoms like fits and spasms, poor motor skills, headaches, joint inflammation, brain fog, vertigo, digestive issues, just to name a few. It was a struggle to read or focus my eyes half the time. But on the rare good days I had, it was nice to work towards something, especially a project that others might be entertained by or otherwise benefit from. To know that I was contributing to society and the world, even in a tiny, tiny way. I always want to do things for other people. I think that's the hardest part about being sick, for me, personally, being selfish and unproductive. Speaking of people thinking I'm selfish and unproductive, then my relationship with my family disintegrated, and I was essentially homeless, living with a friend of mine for 6 months. But now I have my own place, and I can get an episode out in less than a day, where once it took me weeks. Prometheus by Minute is a project that I am proud of, and even on my worst days, I wanted to see it through to the end. These movies mean so much to me, and it's been wonderful to connect to other people who have that same connection with the prequels. It bothers me that so many people just dismiss these films or just want to make jokes about it, but there's so much more here, and it's a world I like to inhabit, as frightening as it can be. And it's kind of exciting that I'm still making discoveries, even in this very episode. There were things I had never noticed before. I've seen this movie maybe a dozen times, and I'm still learning new things. And it's not coming to an end anytime soon. We've still got about 60-odd episodes of Prometheus to go, not including extras like April Fool's specials, Alien Day specials, bonus content, and then we get to Alien Covenant. I've changed so much during these 60 episodes so far. Who knows where I'll be by the time we get to the end credits. Good or bad, I'm ready to face it. I've survived the worst thing life can throw at me. I crawled through a river of shit and came out clean the other side. I'd also like to thank all the coffee donors, Gray Malkin, Clara, aka Mother, Mark Boder, Harry Anastopoulos. You've really helped to cover the cost of hosting the website, and I'm so grateful. Alright, that about covers it. This is Colson, signing off. You can find me on TravianDesigns.com, TRAVIAN, or Prometheus by Minute on Facebook. Oh, also check me out on Instagram, Connor Colson Prime, if that's where you hang out. Yannick, singing, "You'll come a waltzing, Matilda, with me, fuck you." God, I hate that song. Yeah. Try and do it. I don't want to. Okay.